Hello. Welcome to the Therapy Thursday podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Yu, and every single Thursday, I learn lessons from my own therapy sessions and I share them with all of you. I'm so ready to go through and grow through so much with you. Let's go. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Therapy Thursday podcast. I have heard so much from all of you asking about friendships. And every time you ask, I think about how I've been as a friend. I feel like I label myself a lot as not really having lots of friends. And Danny and I are so excited to talk about this. I have friend issues. What do I do?
Oh, please.
Take it away, Danny. What's going on? What is your oh please for today?
Oh, I hope this doesn't upset the masses, but my oh please is I am so exhausted by these outrageous girls' weekends, bachelorette parties, bridal showers that I keep seeing in movies, online, and I think it just sets unrealistic expectations of friendships because I have literally felt that pressure firsthand to be the person planning this like movie star quality bachelorette party. And I think the expectations of some of the people that I know have like, they want the same thing. You know, they want to have these really Pinterest worthy, TikTokable parties.
TikTokable.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like we become so obsessed with that. And it actually changes the dynamic of our friendships because then we place those expectations on our girlfriends or friends to be able to do that for us. And when they don't perform and they can't do that for us, we are frustrated or we feel like they don't care about us or that they, you know, that they are not putting enough energy in. And so my oh please is like, can we just cut it out with some of this and just do things for our friends because we want to do it and do things for our friends that will make them happy and not be so worried about what we're going to put on the gram.
Oh my gosh, totally. And I love how totally unrelatable that is to my life because I don't have any weddings I'm going to. I'm not planning on, I don't have any invites to bachelor parties or any of that. And just to give everyone context, Danny is a wedding planner. So we need to know where that's coming from. My oh please for today is I had one friend that was always so open about talking about their feelings and analyzing everything. They were super, super into therapy. And if they were doing something, for example, dating a bunch of guys and then feeling so disappointed by them and expressing it to me all the time, and it was really a lot of baggage on me, anytime I would just give any honest response, reaction, or feedback that wasn't kind of coddling them, because I do that. Sometimes people just want you to listen. Sometimes they're just, you know, grieving stuff, but I would just say something and they would get so defensive and push it away. But then here's the thing, rationalizing their behavior so much and then all of a sudden they're mad at me.
Right.
Are you kidding? Oh, please. Like you're coming to me with your issues and I'm just trying to be a supportive friend. And also being a real friend, I've realized that is healthy, is you not shrinking and you actually caring about them enough to say something with substance.
Oh, wow. Well, this is a really good segue because obviously it's very easy to talk about toxic friendships where we've been the victims of toxic friendships. But who have we victimized, Kelly?
Oh, man. That is so important for us to realize how necessary it is for us to see ourselves as both. You know, no one is just innocent. No one is good or bad. We all have different traits. And I feel like even the word toxic makes us scared to think about toxic relationships. Have I been toxic? But maybe let's just boil it down to, have there been relationships or friendships that I guess I've had where I wasn't my healthiest self? Probably.
So yes. Well, let's go back a little bit into what your current friend situation is. So I kind of want to know a few things before we dive into these actual you know, notes about these relationships. Let's like get a good picture of where you're at in your friendship. So okay. Are you good at making and keeping friends?
Oh, no.
What's harder for you, making them or keeping them?
Neither is – okay. It's not hard for me to make friends, and I feel like a lot of us can relate to this, is a lot of us might be introverted, but we're also very good at talking to people and being people pleasers and also just connecting with people. I love meeting new people. I'm very good at being like, what's your number? Let's hang out. The keeping and the maintaining and the vulnerability of reaching out and continuously trying to build a relationship, that's what's not my forte.
Interesting. Okay. I can relate to that. I think I'm a very social person. While you identify more as an introvert, I am definitely an extrovert.
Opposites attract.
Totally. And I find it, you know, I love to meet new people and I love striking up conversations with strangers. I love finding that like initial common ground. I can agree in the sentiment of like it's very hard to maintain friendships. And what you're saying is true in terms of like, you know, the day-to-day physical things of like texting or like calling or hanging out. But I also am not great at maintaining friendships. And this is, I guess, one of my traits that I'm working on is I need to set boundaries for how involved I become in their life.
Ooh, okay.
And we can get into that. We can get into that. But I'm curious, do you think you have enough friends in your life right now?
No.
Like you and wish you
honestly,
had more?
No, and that's what I think is interesting about how I feel when you ask me that. I do feel like I have enough because I'm not good at even handling maintaining really good connection with all of them. And I really compare myself to my sister constantly. My sister is 18 months older than me, and she is the most social butterfly on the face of the earth. I mean, this girl is everyone's best friend. She genuinely has like a billion best friends, and she's so good at making plans and constantly working on texting and just in a way where she's just such a confident person that enjoys friends. And I think that's where my brain immediately goes to. I don't know if anyone's like that, but a lot of times I'll just think about me in comparison to like a sibling.
Right.
Like, why did that come up? Well, you didn't ask me about that.
But it's because it's really easy to relate yourself, especially with something as common as friendships, where it's like you can have a direct comparison between the friendships that you have in your life and the friendships that you see your sister having in her life. That's something you can directly compare what those two things look like.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I think I agree in the sense that I feel very fulfilled, particularly in the female relationships that I have in my life. I think where I am looking for more friends is I miss the physical piece, and this is a COVID byproduct, you know, and being in a new city. For those of you that didn't attend the live show, I recently moved to a new city in the new year, and the restrictions where I live have been really difficult to make physical connections with people because we're not supposed to leave our house. And so I really miss just being able to go out and make literally acquaintances that I can just like say hi to in the park or grab a coffee with or whatever. Like that piece is really missing in my life. And I think I definitely took that for granted. And so it's been interesting to see that shift change for me where I'm not even looking for more deep relationships in my life right now. I literally want something surface level where I can just make small talk and grab a coffee with you.
Which is healthy too. And that's something that I didn't realize because I've always been a codependent person. And what codependency is like, no, we have to be sticky like glue. And I want to know all your deeper inner demons. And I want you to love all of mine. My sister has taught me that valuable lesson of it's not toxic for you to just want quote unquote surface friends. That's such a stigmatized thing. It's not negative to have different types of friends.
Totally. And not everybody has to fit into every category to be a good fit for your life. Speaking of, you know, holding on to things and surface levels and deep friendships, do you have a tendency to really romanticize or hold on to childhood friendships?
Oh, I have such a good one. Okay. My best friend since I was 3 years old. I almost said her name. Not that it would be bad, but I don't have to. So we met in preschool. Best friends. We would do everything together. Our moms were super close. And then in second grade, she moved to the suburbs and we still maintained a friendship. I would go for like week long sleepovers at her house and my house. And then it came college and we're like, we went to the same college. We couldn't believe we finally got to reunite because from 3 years old to high school, we were totally separated. And that is when she got her first boyfriend. And she and I have talked about this. Like 10 years later, only in the last year we've reconnected. But you know, when your friend or you gets a boyfriend, have you ever just dropped off the face of the earth?
Yes and no.
Really? You've never? I've definitely done it. I have definitely been like, I'm obsessed with my boyfriend and I'm not going to hang out with my friends, which is the worst thing that I've done. I hate it.
But do you think that it's the worst thing that you've done? Like, I don't know, maybe I'm on the other side of this coin with you on this, but there have been times where, like, when I'm developing a relationship with a boy, my friendships have kind of suffered at the hands of that. But the real friendships find their way back, and I have no regrets about that. And not to say that you, it's not that you can't be like, you know, toxic when you're doing that. Like if you're just blatantly ignoring people, you're not messaging them. But shifting your priorities, I think, is something that we see stigmatized a lot in friendships. And I don't necessarily agree. And maybe I'm on the wrong side of the coin here. So feel free to tell me that I'm out to lunch. But I think that oftentimes we have these perceptions of female relationships that they should withstand everything and that the priority should never shift and that you should always hold them to the same standard. I have no regrets about putting my now husband above a lot of my female friendships in college and good friends, best friends.
Well, no, I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with shifting priorities, but I have to be totally honest to myself about myself is I would become obsessed and start taking on a new identity because I didn't know myself. I didn't have a good relationship with myself. I was so into guys for validating me as a person. And I really just became so attached. And that's when it showed me that I just don't have a good relationship with myself. And I wasn't able to even balanced. See, that's where it is. There was no balance. It was, I've got a boyfriend. Now we're codependent. We're obsessed with each other and we fight a lot. And I don't really care. I spend all my time with him anyway. That's when I knew, at least for me, it signals for me such struggles in my life to maintain friends when a boy came into the picture.
Interesting. And I guess that leads into a really good point about conflict because many of us struggle with conflict. So do you think that you're a person that when you have a conflict with a friend, you deal with it or you avoid it?
Definitely more of the, I get scared. You know, even thinking about it right now, I feel it in my gut, that like a sinking feeling when I picture logically and in therapy, you always know what's great to communicate and you want them to feel safe and you want to feel safe and it's better to speak up. It is scary because I've always been the type who just doesn't want to rock the boat. And I have had a lot of experiences where I've definitely dipped on friendships or the person has dipped on me. And that's pretty common for a lot of us who just haven't built that muscle yet. It's a good muscle to build, being able to talk about things you're thinking, things you might quote unquote, like things you think might be quote unquote controversial or conflicting.
Yeah.
It's actually very healthy to go through that with your friend.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what I love talking with you about and why it's so interesting to have our dynamic is because we are so opposite. And I think this is an area where we are really opposite because I struggle on the other hand. I believe that I am often too confrontational and I can become a bit of a bulldozer in my relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've worked through pretty extensively in the last 2 years, the balance between being true to myself and my personality and who I am and understanding what other people need. And yeah, we can kind of get into this in a bit, but
well, how did you figure out that you were, did someone say that to you?
Oh,
or is that,
gosh.
Oh, okay.
I lost a very good friend in the last, I guess it's been 2 years now almost. Mm. So it was before COVID, R. which is weird to think about. And, you know, I'm not sad about it. This is going to make me sound maybe not great. So I'm just going to be totally honest. And that's what we're here to do. But
yeah, that's what we do.
I don't feel sad about the friendship and I don't even miss the friendship. What I feel sad about is I think that it could have been avoidable. And so I'll give the Coles Notes version of what had happened. And this is a person that
what did you just say? The Coles Notes?
Yeah, you've never heard
that
before. What's
that? Coles, like the store Coles?
I don't know actually where the term originates from, but
I love it.
It's like the, you know, the succinct bullet points.
Yeah.
You know, when you're supposed to read a book for school.
The Cliff Notes.
Don't. Cliff Notes, yeah. I've heard Coles Notes, Cliff Notes.
Okay.
Maybe it's a Canadian thing again.
I love that. Yeah, Danny's from Canada. I'm from Chicago. Go on. Sorry.
So, no, that's okay. So I had this very good friend. We had met through work later in our lives. She was an incredible friend to me in times in my life where I really needed good friends. And she became part of, we had like a little friend group where there was a couple of us in this friend group. And she started seeing this guy that I did not really agree with. Like, I just felt that he was kind of fishy, and I won't get into those details, but it put a bit of a barrier in our relationship because I think that that affected the way that she thought I perceived her. And also it affected our group dynamic because all of the rest of us girls felt the same way. So maybe she felt ganged up on. I can see that in hindsight, how she would feel like all of us had the same opinion that she did not share, right? And so...
You mean the truth?
And it was. It actually was the truth. That's, you know, that's the part that I think I've come to terms with, is that I wasn't wrong. It was just my approach was incorrect. And so I started to notice her kind of pulling away from our friend group. We would always plan these yearly kind of girls' weekends where they would come up and visit me. And she was just non-responsive, wasn't showing any interest. And so I took it upon myself to just message her and be like, what is going on? Like, I feel like you're pulling away. I feel like you aren't interested in spending any time with me. You don't talk to me anymore. And she took it pretty offensive that I was just so upfront about this. And when I started to notice her being very defensive, instead of pulling back and saying, all right, she's like in the trenches about this, she's feeling cornered, I went for the throat. Like, I was just like,
what?
All right, you want to be defensive? Let's have the conversation. And I just laid it out and I was like, here's where I think our relationship is falling apart. Here's why I think it's falling apart. Here's, and I was just listing the reasons. And
what made you come, what, okay, so what got triggered in you for you to come harder? Sorry. But like, but I'm interested in that
it,
first.
I don't perceive it in, as coming harder. Like, that's the thing.
Right.
For me,
I understand.
My personality is so centered around just being the most honest version of myself, which is such bullshit sometimes.
Right, but where does that come from?
I think it's just my I just believe it's like part of my personality. I've always been very outspoken. I'm very good at, I think my family dynamic, we're all super outspoken. We just tell each other what we think. And so I have no problem. If you were to come to me, Kelly, and be like, I don't agree with you, I'd be like, okay, cool. Tell me why. Like, let's have the conversation. Like, it doesn't threaten me. Versus other people, if you say that, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what do you mean? So I think that's just part of the communication dynamic.
Well, you're used to it. That's what I was getting at.
And,
yeah.
And I don't perceive it as threatening because I'm not threatened by it. But that doesn't mean other people aren't threatened by it. And so as we were having this dynamic, keep in mind it's all over text because she refused to call me. I said, let's set up a phone date. Like, let's talk this out. And she blew me off like 2 or 3 times. And so I was like, all right, we're just going to hash this out over text then because I'm not letting this die. Again, Danny, she's not calling you because she's probably intimidated to have the conversation with you. So continuing it over text is not going to solve anything. God. And so this kind of blew up where she responded with some really negative things where she, you know, I didn't perceive myself as making it personal about her, but she turned it around and said, like, these are all the things about you. You always think you're right. You have a really hard time admitting when somebody has a different opinion than you. You are always, it's always about you and what you want and what you're doing. And that was the one that hit me, Kelly, because I had just become a mom. I already felt so insecure about how much more work it was to be friends with me because I was so worried about my life has changed. I don't have flexibility anymore. I don't have the freedom to just pack up every weekend and do whatever I want. So that was something that when she said that, my feelings were super hurt. Like I couldn't believe that that's what she thought about me. As somebody who considers myself pretty selfless in a lot of ways, to hear that about yourself, it's like so contradictory. So,
well, I think here what's interesting too is when things hit you the most, there is this level of it kind of feels true in some kind of way. And that's why it's like a big slap because it's not you saying, oh, you're so wrong. That's a moment where you did actually hear her as well.
Right. But it was like, just because it's not wrong, like just because you're right in saying that I'm not flexible anymore and I don't have this freedom and it is kind of all about me doesn't mean that I'm in the wrong. It just means that the dynamic has shifted. And that's where it took me a while to come to terms with that. But what I had recognized was, first and foremost, our relationship needs were very different. So while I'm a person who's fairly independent, she required a little bit more energy from me that she hadn't vocalized to me. But regardless, I, you know, as a friend should notice that like what her needs are different than mine. And I wasn't able to give that to her. The second piece of that was the big, big piece of how I was toxic is I was too confrontational. I was overstepping my bounds in a position where I could have been more gracious with her, where I could have maybe dialed back the bull a bit. I stood my ground. And while that's a very great life skill that I have, and I'm really proud to be a person who doesn't necessarily waver in confrontation, that's not always something you need to bring to a friendship, right? It's okay to back down. It's okay to ease up a bit It's not like I'm fighting with a boss, you know, like it's not like I have to like hold my ground for moral reasons. It was just like the pride in me and the inability to change, you know, who I am, quotation, like that's ridiculous. Sometimes you have to be willing to bend a bit. And so that has been something I've been working through because I want to be a friend that even if I disagree with you or I'm worried about you, that it comes out of a place of love and compassion and you feel that compassion rather than just feeling like I'm coming at you, you know?
Danny, I really love that you shared that because here in Therapy Thursday, our goal is not to just be guiding ourselves or anyone to be only healthier and only doing better. It's so nice and relatable for someone to just share, hey, this is what happened and this is kind of how I think and this is also how I tend to view myself. This is how I feel like I also want to defend how I am. This is how I am, but also learning because we're not supposed to be on this journey to always get better. It's okay to have parts of us that are quote unquote flawed, quote unquote toxic, because that just makes you a person.
And like friendships are allowed to go away. Like that was the big lesson I took out of this for myself was I don't harbor any ill feelings towards this person. Like I truly wish her the best in her life. Do I need to maintain a friendship with her like we had before? No, I actually don't think it's in either of our interests because I think we have two different sets of needs. And I think we're just really different people and in different places in our lives. And that's totally fine. Like that is totally okay. And I've come to terms with that. And I hope she has as well.
Hi, this is gonna get real for a sec. Do you ever cry after self-pleasure? I'm seriously asking because that was me after a breakup last year. And it's embarrassing to admit, but it's honestly normal. That's what my therapist says. And if she's lying to me, I really don't care. It helps very much. But it didn't help at all that I wasn't watching porn at that time. So I would just fantasize about my ex. And also, I have never found porn that really felt real, safe, or hot enough all in one. But I committed to my search and I discovered Cheeks. Oh my God, the hottest life changer ever. The Cheeks website is a safe space for everyone curious about sexual stimulation and education. It's also the first sex positive site that's actually ethical and sexually diverse, consensual, and everyone is verified to be over 18 years old. Cheeks is the freaking best and gave me the code Kelly for you to try 14 days free at getcheeks.com. That's GETCHEEX.com. So please have fun with yourself and stop fantasizing about your ex. Use code Kelly for 14 free days at GetCheeks. That's GETCHEEX.com. And if you love it, which I know you will, you're going to want to have the full year subscription like me. Like, hi, yeah, I need more than 14 days of this amazingness. Thank you. And it's only $6.90 for the full year, and you can cancel that at any time. So please enjoy. I mean it. Stop fantasizing about your ex. You got this. We got this.
So Kelly, I've shared with you a little bit of, you know, my dirty laundry in the friend room. So I want to hear about you. What is something that you're working through in the friend department? Where are you at?
You know, some of you who are on the Patreon, we have our little Zoom dates. And one of you last week I had a Zoom date with and you asked me, you know, I do know, Kelly, that you share that you get lonely sometimes, but like, do you have friends? Like, what's going on with that? And I felt so put on the spot because you all know me so well and you actually hear what I say. And it almost scared me to hear that, you know, that you noticed that in me. And a huge thing I'm working on is I'll complain in my own self about how I feel lonely or isolated and owning up to the fact that I need to work on my anxiousness that bars me from socializing when I'm a very social person, but the anxiety kind of gets in the way. And it's such an annoying thing I feel when I say that because it's like, yeah, we all get it. We all have social anxiety. But it really does manifest in a way where you start to miss out on a lot. And
how
miss
does
out
it manifest with you? Like dive into that a bit more with me because obviously every person has social anxiety differently. So how are you, how is that affecting you in making friends right now?
I have a handful of really good friends that I could always be making plans with to go do something with. And a lot of my life, I feel like, I just want to like stay home, you know, getting dressed and getting outside. I could just kind of like chill, and I feel kind of burnt out by work and life. So maybe you do a lot of rationalizing. Mm-hmm. So it manifests in you being like, oh, well, it might be too much effort. And maybe then I'll be too tired to then do my other tasks that I need to do. It's all about you're trying to control what's going to happen then, what's going to happen now, how are you going to feel then? Instead of just being a human who is enjoying the endorphins of hanging out with a friend, the fun that you need to actually feel inspired to then motivate you to want to go do work. It really is all a bunch of puzzle pieces. And I feel like a lot of times I toss the puzzle pieces out of my box to then think an empty box will make me feel grounded and at peace when I need pieces to be put together to help me feel complete and able to move forward in my life. So that is something I'm truly working on, is I will try to FaceTime my friends more or shoot them a text and be like, hey, in a couple weeks, do you want to go do this or do this? And a big way that I worked on it was, first of all, I love stand-up comedy. I don't think any of you probably know that about me. I'm obsessed. And I watch it so much, like on TV or like Netflix on my phone. And I asked my friend, we never even talked about stand-up. I said, hey, do you want to go to like a show in Chicago at the Laugh Factory? And she's like, yeah. And it was amazing. So that's so how
you,
I kind of worked on it.
You brought her into something that made you feel comfortable and that what you were excited about. And, you know, you brought that person in on that journey with you so that you could enjoy doing something with them.
Yes. Yeah, let
kind
people
of surpass
in.
That anxiety piece, right?
Correct. And I think that's why a lot of us shut down hanging out with people, even communicating thoughts and feelings. For example, if you're having a good day or a hard day, you feel like, I don't really want to bring them in. I'm sure they're doing their own stuff. People want you to be inviting them into your life, and you want to be invited into their life. So instead of always thinking, this just has to be a me moment or this just has to be a me problem, no, friendships are inviting moments too.
I think this year in particular, because all of us have felt the weight of what's happened so differently and to so many different extents, I certainly feel this. I never want to be burdensome. I want to spend time with people and always have it feel light and social and fun. And the reality is sometimes that's just not possible. And so, you know, we get into this headspace where we're like, well, I can't hang out with somebody unless I'm just feeling perfect. Like my emotions have to be totally calibrated to be spending time with people in a social setting. And you kind of touched on that a bit, where it has to be like, you know, the right setting. But I think particularly, I feel it very much where I'm like, I just want to be in the right headspace for this. And then it causes you to just not show up at all.
Yes. And that's one of the biggest friendship misconception ever that affects so many of us, because we always want to be like a positive force in someone's life. And by you showing up, that is what reinforces that connection with someone, not dying off when you can't be your perfect self. And no one wants someone who's always dragging them down. But by you being human and having various levels of emotions and things you're going through, that is what makes you a good friend, because we forget that people actually do want to know about us. Okay.
So true.
Right?
So
like true. We genuinely think, I just want to show up and have a good time. How much are they going to really even know about you? And how much are you going to actually feel connected to them if they don't know anything about you?
Right. And also that like our friends, we don't give our friends enough credit to be able to handle some of what we're going through themselves, right? Like obviously there are circumstances where there is not a ton of emotional bandwidth, and that's totally reasonable. But on a general basis, I think that we need to trust people in our lives to be able to handle some of the shit that we're going through with us. And I actually had this conversation with my sister and one of my best friends, because particularly this year, I have had a really, really hard time owning up to the fact that life has been shitty sometimes, and that I'm overwhelmed and that I'm not managing it super well. And they are like, you never talk to us about this. You pretend, like you see it in kind of a joking way. We're like, oh yeah, like, you know, life's shitty, huh? Moving on. Like there's no expansion on that, and you don't open it up. And my feeling was just like, and I don't know if you can relate to this, Kelly, but you have this fear that if you open that worm hole up a little bit, that they are going to check in on you all the time. And then you're, you know, creating this invitation where you just have this dynamic where they're always just checking in on you and making sure you're okay. Have you ever felt that?
That goes to immediately me being like, I don't want to really be seen. I don't want you to really see me fully. And I don't want to have to face myself if you're looking at me. That's how I feel about how if I open up about something vulnerable and then they'll be checking in on me, you're going to keep reminding me that I'm going through a hard time. I'm trying to avoid the fact that I'm struggling. So even if someone is being so caring and helping, and that's exactly what we deeply need, it's hard for us to accept that care because it causes us to have to go inward and realize what feelings and emotions and struggles we might be having. And in that moment, it's important for us to trust ourselves that we can handle that. It's not them trying to mirror your reality in a way that's like in your face. It's genuine care and support that you need.
Yeah, it's a projection of, I know for me, my insecurities around being seen as weak, as unable to manage things on my own. It's my insecurities around feeling in control of my life that kind of distance me from the ability to accept care and compassion because I perceive it as a weakness rather than seeing it as people's way of investing in me and connecting to me. And so there's been definitely times in my life where I've carried a burden very heavy alone by choice. Fully by choice.
100%. And that honestly goes back to, for me, when I was growing up, it was a burden for me to have a lot of emotions and feelings when it came to communicating that to a parent specifically. Right. It was like, no, I don't have time for that. I don't have room for that. I also don't enjoy being around you when you're in a mood. It's really bringing me down. Then I ended up dating a person who also legitimately would say that to me. This person did not have the skill of empathy. I remember so many moments where I would be crying and he would genuinely, Danny, look at me and go, I just don't, you're making me feel bad when you do that. Wow. I don't get why you're crying. You're making me feel bad. So yeah. A lot of us have had moments, whether it be family, friend, we've had moments where it causes you to then believe I should keep it to myself.
Totally. I've had instances where I've opened up to a friend and gotten emotional or cried. And this is somebody I consider truly one of my best friends. She was literally in my bridal party where she's been like, oh, this is the first time I've seen you cry like this. And I was like, what? Like, what? But it was shocking to me because it's true. In our relationship dynamic, I don't allow myself to look weak. I don't allow myself to feel my feelings fully because I wanted to always keep things light and fun. And that was the dynamic of our relationship for so long, is we just had so much fun together that I didn't want to be the person taking it down the notch. Have you ever had the friend that you're like, I just want to preserve the sanctity of what this is. I don't want to make it too real because what we have feels so good and fun and light.
Oh, totally. And that's for everyone who's listening. Think about maybe what is the narrative you've written about yourself? Like, what kind of person are you? What kind of friend are you? And Danny, I think this is why I love doing the podcast with you, because we're so different. So you've written your story as, I'm the fun, lighthearted one who's not going to drag anyone down, right?
Yeah.
I've been the one who is like, I'm here for you. We can talk about all our feelings together. I'm really self-deprecating. I don't really have much going on. I'm sad. And then it's evolved to more than like, I'm the caring one. I'm the open one. And then it has evolved to, I will be the sunshine in your life anytime you need it. So all of those have a recurring theme, though, is I'm showing all my vulnerabilities to you because I want you to feel safe showing your vulnerabilities to me. And that shows me that I haven't ever been really comfortable in enjoying friendship. I think I've always seen friendships as, I need to be someone for someone else.
Oh my God, Kelly, I'm having this like epiphany moment about even our own friendship.
Really?
You do this thing where if
I'm scared,
I fuck up something, you will immediately make a negative remark about yourself.
What? I do? Yes.
In like an attempt to make yourself, I think, more like approachable to me. And I just was like thinking about this when you were talking about like wanting to be the vulnerable, always there for you friend. And I like, it's just something interesting that I think is like just how we're so different, is like, you want me to feel comfortable and feel okay about myself. So your way to do that is to like level the playing field.
What? I just, wait.
And not,
what?
It's not like a serious thing.
No,
it's
no,
just
no.
Like an interesting...
I just am. No, it's not. I'm just kind of like, what? Like, what? What do I do?
Like, I'll give you an example. I'll be like, okay, oh, okay. I just had like a super busy day and I dropped the ball on this or something. Or I'm so sorry I didn't get back to this email. And you'll be like, oh, it's okay. I was stupid this morning and forgot to do this. Like, you want to make me feel comfortable by admitting that you also messed up.
I do that.
Which is so fascinating to me because that would never be my response. My response would always be like, yeah, you are stupid for not getting back. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like an interesting dynamic that you're, as soon as you started talking about the way that you write your own narrative and it formulates in habit. And I'll give you an example. I think about me. I am the person who always has to be the level-headed one, who has to be the stubborn one, who has to be not afraid of confrontation or holding things accountable or managing things. So even when I feel disoriented or I feel, you know, like I can't handle something, I will make sure that my presence still feels sturdy.
Like, I've got it together. Don't worry about it. Don't even pass a judgment on it. Okay.
Yes.
But I see that's so
I'm not saying that as an insult to you. I'm just
it's not an insult at all. Okay. I appreciate you saying that to me because I think it's so important that I hear that to work on it because I think it really stems from me. You know, my whole life I've always been like, make everyone feel good, make everyone feel comfortable because then they're gonna love you.
And the funny thing is I love you because we can laugh about things and we connect on different levels and that we have really real conversations. And I've never once thought about that kind of habit that you have until you were just talking about it now. Like, it has not crossed my mind until that second that you were like, this is how I behave in friendships to make myself a better friend or as I perceive a better friend.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that because that just goes to show us all, everyone listening right now, there are things that we do so unconsciously that can be damaging towards our sense of connection with ourselves. And it's not a really bad criticism. It's genuinely so helpful to hear that because it reminds you, hey, you don't have to do that to connect with people. You don't have to dumb yourself down. You don't have to change your personality. You don't have to be everyone's caretaker, therapist, helper to get them to care about you. And even though I thought I was very much past that, that just goes to show how nice it is to really take that moment to notice the small things we still might do that we don't even realize that we do to try to get people to feel comfortable and care about us. Like, you don't have to be helpful to be someone that they like or love. Oh my God. I'm like, what? Thank you for telling me that. Honestly, it's very good. I got to tell my therapist about it. Vent here. This is the part of the show where we react to your vents, and I absolutely love giving you all the space to share what you're feeling, what you're going through right now, anything that might be bugging you, or something really cool that's gone on in your life. We are going to react and respond right now. Okay, everyone, I love asking for you to vent to me on Instagram. I always put a little question box and I asked you if any of you have had any issues or feelings about your friends. Danny's going to read your vents right now and I will react.
All right, so this first one is, my best friend keeps asking me for help and I always am there for her, but she never helps me back.
Ew. Wait, have I been that friend? No,
I'm
haven't.
No, I don't think you have. I think that you're like, I will help anyone at any moment.
It's not good either. It's like the other bad side.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious though, because I know that everybody goes through different life stages. And I can think of times in my life where I maybe didn't have the emotional capacity to be there for somebody as much as they were for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, you struggle with that guilt or that feeling of, can I ever repay that piece? Can I ever be the friend to you that you are to me? And sometimes the answer is no.
I know. See, that's the thing that it's hard because when you read an event like that, it's so valid on because we don't know both ends. And it does really hurt when, you know, you are the friend who someone comes to a lot. But I also think in that dynamic, it's because that person is going through so much and they are just almost so down in the dumps, they're holding on and grasping at the seams.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to be their lifeline though.
No, totally. And I think it depends on what this, you know, help or advice is. Is it that you are their like emotional trampoline? And
oh, I love that. I've never heard that before.
That you're just like, they keep bouncing on you and bouncing on you because they just need it. Is it that they're always asking you to borrow your clothes? They never want to share. Like, what's the scale here? Because yeah. I have had friends that were definitely the latter. Like, they were the types of people who, you know, would never chip in for dinner, or they would always want to borrow something and never reciprocated it. Or I would always invite them out, but if they had plans with another group, they would never think to invite me. That's like one thing where I think you should really evaluate your friendship and think about the value it's providing you in your life, you know?
True. Love that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think for anyone who is going through this scenario, is the only thing that you can do for yourself, which you should allow yourself to try, is saying, hey, I feel like you're coming to me a lot, and I would also like to come to you. See, if you're just feeling this way and you never try to also ask them for help, that's something for you to know, that this friendship's for you too.
Yeah.
So you can ask.
Have you ever been the friend, and I'm sure you have, that the other people just assume that you're, that you kind of have it all together and that you don't need them in some ways? Like, you know, we're talking about this dynamic of this person, one friend always going to the other. And maybe that friend who's depending on them feels like, oh, they have it together. Like, they don't need me for that dynamic in the relationship. Like, I'm just burdening them. They don't have anything in their life to burden me with.
Yeah.
You know, that often happens.
Well, and that belief that your friend might have about you is reinforced when you never vocalize it. So that's that was my problem, is a lot of people would, like, even a couple weeks ago, my sister and I were FaceTiming, and I all of a sudden just looked down and I started crying. She goes, Kelly, like, what's going on? Because for me, I will never like tell you what's going on. Not because I'm hiding it. It's just, so, and she's so funny though. She's like, dude, I know the look on your face when you're about to cry. Like, I wear my emotions on my face so well. She's like, you just have a look. And that just goes to show too, you're going to be the person people come to if you never come to them either.
Yeah. Yeah. It requires a bit of effort on both parts to get to that place. It can't just be an assumption.
Yeah.
And okay, what about?
No, please go. Next one. Go.
Okay, what about this one? So how can I trust again after being lied and manipulated to from my best friend? Oh, this is sticky.
I know, that's a tough one. And also, I'm really latched on to the fact that they're, you know, they said my best friend. When you were younger, did you, Danny, you're the type of person who has a lot of friends, so maybe you won't relate to this, but I remember when I was younger, I did have a best friend for a long, long time, and then we went to college and we had falling out. But actually, I forgot to tell you, we made our first friend date for July, like our first reunion. Yeah,
so great.
Yes, everyone, we were best friends ever since we were 3 years old, and then she went to a different grade school in second grade, and we still were best friends during high school and grade school. We'd hang out each other's houses maybe, you know, a couple times in the year and have long, week-long sleepovers. And then we went to the same college, and then she got a boyfriend, and we stopped being friends. You know what happens? Stuff like that. Yeah. But anyway, we are reuniting for the first time in like 5 years.
Are you nervous?
I am. And I told her that too. And she's like, me too. It's so cute.
Oh, I think that's so great though, because okay, there's like a million ways that this can like, you know, unfold. But at the end of the day, at the very minimum, it'll just be nice to know that you've reconnected, even if it's just once. And it's only uphill from there, right?
Yes.
If that's the bare minimum, like, that's still exciting.
It is. And the words my best friend for this person, I highly doubt that they're thinking what I think. But when I hear that, I remember when I was younger, I always felt like I needed a best friend. Like, you know, like in movies, you see like the two besties, and I got really attached to one, the person, to the idea. So I can imagine that the friend was lying?
Yeah, her best friend was lying or manipulating her.
Yeah, and that just kind of dismantles way more than just a distrust, right? Like, it's your person. How would you react if you're – have you ever had that happen?
I mean, yeah. Like, I think that we're humans and no relationship is perfect. Yeah. I have lied to friends. They've lied to me. I think it's like, what is the pattern? you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Right.
Is this a one-off? Is this a situation? And how serious was it? I mean, when we take it back to best friends, I feel like as a kid, I definitely tried to embrace that and fill that void. Mm-hmm. As an adult, I almost have removed the label from my life. I would say my sister is probably the closest thing I have to a best friend outside of my husband. Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely believe my husband is my best friend. But in terms of just like making friends, like, and I think part of that is just the needs in a relationship for me. I don't feel that I need a best friend. Is that really...
No, I think that's very normal and very healthy, because once again, it contrasts what the belief that I always had was, I don't even think I was looking for that connection of a best friend. Yeah. I wanted a best friend to feel secure. Correct. Yeah. Like my life was a movie.
Yeah.
And I love what you said too about a pattern, because also I really think that forcing ourselves and other people to always live up to just being the most honest is too much.
It's so true. And like I said before, no friendship is perfect. So I can think of times where I've lied to a friend. Honestly, I felt out of my best interest and their best interest. Maybe it was I didn't want to hurt their feelings, but they were doing something that I really didn't feel comfortable with or approve of. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was that other people were saying things about them that I wanted to protect them from. Mm-hmm. Like, I can think of genuine instances where my heart was in the right place. And I can think of times where I was probably just a shitty friend. You know, I can think of times where I have told somebody I'm not having any plans that evening and going out with other people.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. I think it really is looking at their intentions and what was it, and does this happen again and again? Also, what happens when you try to confront them? That's the key. Right. Are they going to gaslight you? Yeah. Are they going to make you feel bad?
But probably. Like, I think people get on the defensive so quickly. Like, I can tell you, so for example, Kelly, let's say you and I have plans tomorrow night. We're supposed to go out. And I call you and I'm like, hey, like, I'm just not feeling well. I'm going to stay home. And then I go to make plans with other people. And you come to me on like the Monday. You're like, I saw snaps with you out with these people. Like, what the hell? I'm going to be like, well, it was last minute. Like, I'm going to find some reason.
Really?
To, like, 100%.
Don't do that. See, I don't like that.
But that's my instinctual. I'm telling you, that's my instinctual nature would be to do that, would be to find an excuse to not take accountability for it.
Is that because you're afraid that I'll be upset, or you just don't want to deal with like the accountability part?
Probably both. I think there's a piece of that that's, if I'm being 100% honest, both.
But I wouldn't be okay. So here's where you go wrong in the first place. It's just like, I'd rather go do something else.
Right. And I think that that's the evolution of friendship, is being able to say no, or being able to say, my plans have to change for this reason or this reason. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or taking accountability and being like, hey, I actually wasn't feeling well, or I didn't want to go out. And then somebody invited me and I really felt compelled to do that. And I'm sorry that it hurt your feelings. Like, all of those things take time to get to that place. Mm-hmm. But I just think that sometimes, I'm not saying that you have to, you know, if you're my friend and I do that to you, don't just like put up with it forever. But understand that like no person is perfect. No friendship is perfect. We're all humans that are evolving.
Well, back to that scenario, what I really like about that too, that I notice is like, here's an example. I was going to go to dinner with one of my friends and the weather was going to be kind of bad. So I didn't want to drive in the rain, like, because they live like a couple hours away where we were going to meet. And I was like, honestly, I don't want to drive in the rain, which my older self would have maybe been like, I'm so busy. It's like, no, I really don't want to drive in the rain. But then I was like, you know what? Actually, the weather's going to clear up. I can make it. And then they said, I'm actually meeting up with some friends to go like day drinking before. I don't drink. Mm-hmm. And so I said to them, I said, this is the first time I've just also been this straightforward. Usually I would have been like, oh, you know, I first typed this on my phone. I said, you know, I love you if you're drunk or not, but I'd prefer if you like were sober. Instead, I didn't try to say like cushion them. I just said, for me, it would be better if we just had a sober chill.
Yeah. And you empower them in a way to make the decision of what they want to do then. Mm-hmm. And it's not at your expense either way. Either way, like, you either get the sober hangout that you want or you reschedule. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I was, even though the situation that you presented is a little, it's the same in terms of, it could have been disappointing for them to be like me pulling out completely. But it's like, well, I don't want to hang out with you if you're going to be drunk at dinner. Totally.
Yeah. I think now that I'm older and wiser. I can honestly say that I would never lie to a friend about not wanting to hang out with them. I think I'm mature enough and confident enough now to say, hey, like, that's not my vibe, or I'm really tired, or actually something else came up that is a better fit for my schedule this week. And so can we rain check? Like, I think I can do that now. 21-year-old me? Like, I don't know how old this person is. And I don't think that that makes me a bad person or like a bad friend long term. It's just like, it's growing pains through friendship.
Yeah. And the goal isn't to be honest for others. The reason why I asked you too was, it was really nice that you said, well, one, it's hard for me to take accountability. And two, I don't want to upset people. So you don't deserve to deal with either of those stresses. That's why like the honesty helps you, because then you don't have to deal with that.
Exactly. That's such a good way of putting it.
It's true, girl. Because I'd be like, okay, dude, honestly, I'll probably stay home anyway.
I know. I just publicly admitted that I don't like being held accountable.
I love that though. It's the most real thing ever. Like, so we're not, we don't want to be perfect here. Sorry.
So what about this scenario? My ex-best friend dropped me out of her life and said she's happy now, but I still miss her.
Dude, there's got to be so much more to this story, right, but I will base it off of this, okay?
Yeah.
If it really is just that the friend was like, "See ya, I'm good."
Yeah.
That is very painful. And also, I have to say, I have been on both sides of it, where I was the friend who needed to let go of someone and felt so much better after it. But honestly, I would never say that to them. I wouldn't do that. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's like, what's your motivation for telling someone like, I'm so much happier without you? Like,
right.
I think it's all about interpretation. The idea that somebody says that to you, is that because you're just reading in between the lines on their social media and seeing all the things they're doing? You're like, oh man, they seem so much happier without me.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I think people are supposed to be in our lives or they're not. And I'm not trying to sound all ominous and like, you know, there's a greater power that's influencing all these people coming in and out of your life. I just believe that who is meant for me in my life is there. And when they're not, when they don't serve a purpose anymore, they exit. And I try not to get too attached, because I have had times in my life where I've genuinely thought, I don't understand why this person doesn't value me the same way. And it's really heartbreaking.
Oh, it truly rips you to shreds to feel like you look at a friend and you want this connection. You love them. You care for them. You also just miss hanging out and like having phone dates and texting them funny things and doing your fun activities. And the hard part is to realize that we never know what's going on in someone's head. And, you know, that friend who decided to kind of just dip, whether or not it was because of more stuff that happened, the point is they did just dip. Mm-hmm. And you don't really need someone who just so easily kind of drops something, even if it was more issues between you two.
Totally. It's still what is that value in your life? And what space is that person taking up that could be filled by something else or someone else, right? If we think about ourselves as a battery cell and we only have X amount of energy to give to humans a day, and you have this friend that you're devoting so much of your energy to, that isn't reserving even apparently close to the same amount of energy for you, what does that tell you? You know, it hurts, but you're better off. It's like a breakup, I guess.
Yeah, all of these vents are so helpful for me to reflect too on what kind of friend I want to be, what kind of friend I have been. And it always just makes me feel so nice to know that we've all experienced a lot of the same things. I think a lot of us, when we go through friend breakups or friend fights, we're like, everyone just has a best friend and I don't. No, you're finding your tribe and you're finding your way. And these people just kind of pave your way to it. And I think that is the perfect way for us to leave you on that note of, don't just keep worrying about, I don't have any friends, or I don't think I'm a good friend. Are they a good friend? Are we toxic? Should we talk about this? Should we work on this? Maybe take one step back and think, how do I talk to myself about this? What do I want in a friendship? What am I currently doing that's working for me, that doesn't necessarily feel like is working for me? What makes me feel safe in a friendship? What are things that I would like to communicate to people? Sit with more of you instead of always thinking about them. And I think that is one of the best ways we can have the fulfilling friendships that we want and we deserve. Thank you all so much for listening to the Therapy Thursday podcast, and we will see you next Therapy Thursday. Danny, you want to say bye?
Bye.
Bye.